Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Medical Battery and Sovereign Immunity Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 4, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Levin v. United States. The question in this case is whether a veteran can bring a battery claim against the United States for an injury caused by medical military personnel while performing their duties, or whether such a claim is prohibited by the international tort exception to the general waiver of sovereign immunity in the Federal Tort Claims Act. In an opinion delivered by Justice Ginsburg, the court held unanimously that the international tort exception does not prevent the veteran from bringing his medical battery claim against the United States. The court reversed the contrary decision of the lower appellate court and remanded the case for further proceedings. Although the decision was unanimous, Justice Scalia did not join footnote 6 and 7 of Justice Ginsburg's opinion for the court. To discuss the case, we have Kendra Rotunda, who is an associate professor of military and international law and executive director of the Military Law and Policy Institute. She is also a lecturer at Berkeley School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Rotunda.
The Supreme Court in Levin v. U.S. held that the plaintiff, a military veteran, may bring suit against the Navy for intentional battery done to him by a Navy doctor. The court held that the Gonzales Act overrides the intentional tort exception of the Federal Tort Claims Act, thus permitting suit against the government. The court decided this case soon, or about 6 weeks after oral argument. The opinion was written by Justice Ginsburg, and it was unanimous. The only exception is that while Justice Scalia joined in the opinion, he did not join in two particular footnotes, numbers 6 and 7, which both relate to the interpretation of two Senate reports. The court's decision in this case is frankly not all that surprising. The government's position was very broad. It had argued that the interpretation of two statutes together, the Gonzales Act and the Federal Tort Claims Act, meant that Mr. Levin, who had suffered an intentional battery, would be unable to maintain any cause of action in any court. At oral argument, the court had universally bristled at the notion that victims of intentional torts would be stripped of any legal remedy. In fact, Justice Robert had specifically invited the government to narrow its position, and the government had declined. In its decision, the Supreme Court wholly rejects the government's reading of the two statutes. The court reached its decision by a careful side-by-side comparison of the two competing statutory constructions, and it decided that the Gonzales Act was clear on its face and that the plain language of that statute would permit suit against the government. The court called the government's interpretation of the Gonzales Act strained. It also said that the government would have it read the phrase "shall not apply" to mean "does apply." It called the government's reading most unnatural. The court, on the other hand, embraced Mr. Levin's reading of the Gonzales Act and said that it was far more compatible with the text and purpose of the federal legislation. The court also especially noted that the government's position in this case was not only strained, but that it directly contradicted its earlier position in a similar case, U.S. v. Smith. In Smith, the government had interpreted this statute, the Gonzales Act, to allow suit against the government in a similar case. And the court was now quick to point out that the government had done an about-face, saying that the government now disavows its earlier view. So overall, the court's opinion was really very straightforward and unequivocal. In fact, the court even commented that the choice between the two alternative readings was not difficult to make. In the end, the decision, I think, really speaks both to the equity of the court and to the inequity and inconsistency of the government's argument.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.